Take your Bibles and turn with me tonight to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 22 tonight. Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Had a coughing spell all afternoon and night, and I said what they're trying to say. I could sing okay, except when we had, every time we got to a rest, I started coughing. So hopefully I'll be able to make it through tonight without coughing in the microphone. I also have the hiccups. Usually those go away when I stand up and start preaching, so we'll see how that goes. All right, those are two things. Something else, like I made mention of this morning after the lesson, this has been a very difficult week for me, and I feel less prepared to preach the lesson tonight than I ever have in my life. I've known all week what I was preaching on, and have done and spent time doing some reading and studying and preparation, but my PowerPoint presentation wasn't finished or completed. So this afternoon I was sitting down working on that and had my material out and everything, was working, putting that together. I didn't get it finished, but I had enough that I could have put some stuff up there and made some points and been okay with that. Well, I left my computer at home. So, I don't have my computer, and I don't know if I can preach with that. We're going to try it tonight and see. But then I got another problem. I left my Bible at home, too. It was in the same bag with my computer. I packed it all up, put it in the bag, got ready to go to the car. In fact, I went out and got in and come back in the house to get it, and I walked out without it. So I don't have my computer, and I don't have my Bible that I normally use, so have you ever used a Bible that you're not familiar with? We're going to try that tonight and see how it goes. But the lesson is entitled, Brought Near by the Blood of Christ, and that again is taken from this section of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. And we find that in verse 13. Let's read together verses 11 through 22. And then what we'll do is we'll go back and we'll get the points out of the text that need to be gotten out of it. And then we'll bring the lesson to a close. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called in circumcision by what is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded up together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So in Christ we are partakers of this holy citizenship, this holy fellowship with God, that is all made possible through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without that, as we studied last week, we could not be saved. For we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And in this context, if you notice, you know, he deals and he talks about the enmity, that is the law of commandments containing ordinances. Those things were taken away. And you go back up to chapter 2 and verse 8 and verse 9, not of works. You know, those are the kind of works that the Jews thought that it was necessary for one to be saved. Keeping the law of Moses, following that system. Well, that's not how you can't be saved. Without the blood of Christ, there is no hope. So it is by grace that we are saved. We need the blood of Christ. Now, again, we talked a little bit about this last week. Those who are outside of Christ, you know, you go back up to verse 1, and you who have, he has quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, all to whom Paul writes this epistle, that includes you and me, by the way, we are all, at one time, indebted to the grace of God because we were all lost. We were all outside of Christ. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And so, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made with hands, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Here he is talking about the physical separation that was taking place that was in existence between the Jew and the Gentile. The Jews looked down their noses at Gentiles. They were heathens. They were of a different nation. And they were not the called out people of God as they themselves considered. And so one of the key demarcations between the Jew and the Gentile was the idea of circumcision. In fact, you can go back to the Old Testament. David, for example, when he slays the Philistine, Goliath, you know, he referred to him as one that is uncircumcised. And that really irritated him when he heard this uncircumcised Philistine blaspheming God. And we see that throughout the Scripture. They referred to those who were not Jews as uncircumcised. And that's what Paul has reference to here. So what has taken place is that those who were Gentiles in the flesh, they were outside of the covenant promises of God, and they were brought near, or they were saved, through the blood of Christ. Now, notice the things that they did not have outside of Christ and outside of fellowship with God. Look at verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Five things he mentions in verse 12. Look at what they are again. Number one, they're without Christ. Now, where is anyone today who is without Christ? John 14 and verse 6 says that there is but one way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're outside of Christ, you're outside of salvation. You're lost. So it's very important that we find out how to get into Christ. We're going to talk about that in just a few moments. But outside of Christ, they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. What do you think about when you hear the word aliens? Think about spacemen, people in flying spaceships, UFOs. Well, the idea here is that they were aliens. That is, they were not citizens. They were not fellow citizens in the kingdom of Christ. They were not in the kingdom of God. They were not of the children or family of God, the nation of God. And so they were considered aliens. Maybe a good way to illustrate that. How do you feel about people coming across the Mexican-U.S. border? Coming in and taking full citizenship rights, and it seems like that's what they're doing, getting the driver's license and Social Security and all this other stuff, the benefits of being an American citizen, they just come right in and they get all of that free. It's costing taxpayers billions of dollars. How do you feel about that? You see, they're aliens. They're not citizens. They're aliens. They're outside. And should they be taking part in the blessings of being citizens of this country? And that's the concept. Those who are outside of Christ are aliens. They don't have the right to participate in the blessings that are in Christ that we read about in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. So they are aliens. They are outside of Christ. And they are spoken of as aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They're outside that realm of blessing. And strangers from the covenants of promise. God made promises to Israel, and he kept them. Now, there is one thing. These Gentiles to whom Paul is speaking here became partakers of the covenant of promise. In fact, flip with me, we mentioned this passage this morning, but in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, look at verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the people that Paul is writing to, they are now heirs according to the promise, but before they were not. And there, even though he's talking about Jews and Gentiles specifically, there is an application to this for all of us. By the way, we are all Gentiles by flesh. We can only be participants of this promise in Christ. And so, and the same thing is true, by the way, for the Jew today, and we'll see that in verse 17. But we can only be participants of this promise in Christ, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope. Outside of Christ, they had no hope. Outside of this covenant of promise, there is no hope. This is where they were before they entered Christ. No hope. Same thing is true for us today. If you are outside of Christ here this evening, you have no hope. No hope of eternal life. And he says, then without God in the world. You know, there are a lot of people today living outside of Christ in the world without experiencing the wonderful blessings of God. They're trying to make it on their own. They're doing things their own way. And if they only knew how miserable they really are, if they only knew how wonderful it is to have the spiritual blessings in Christ, having God, being fellowship with God, how important that is for us. So this is the condition of those who are outside of Christ, Gentiles in the flesh, and the same thing is true today for anyone who is outside of Christ. But now in verse 13, we see there's a transition. But now, he's writing to people who have obeyed the gospel. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were far off, are made near by the blood of Christ. Those who are outside of Christ, those Gentiles in the flesh, they were now brought near by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Without that shedding of blood, there could have been no remission of sins. Now, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it, according to Hebrews. It took the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus came here to die. He had to die in order for this to occur, for men to be brought near to God. And we're going to see a little later what those blessings are, beginning there in verse 19. But now, in verse 14, he makes this point, for he, that is Jesus is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What was it that separated the Jew and the Gentile? Well, it was the law of Moses. That's what separated them. It was the law of Moses, and it was the promises of national Israel. And that, all those promises separated them. The teachings of the law, you take the food ordinances, you take the marriage ordinances, you take all those ordinances, you take all those religious sacrifices and everything that the Israelites did, that separated them from the rest of the world. There was a clear line of demarcation between them and those outside of God's covenant of promise. And so what did Christ do? It says that he hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There are those today who still teach that the law of Moses is in effect, that we have to keep the law in order to be saved. Well, see, that's just a wall of separation that they're trying to go back to. They're going back to something that Jesus took out of the way. Turn with me over to the book of Colossians. In Colossians, in the second chapter, the Apostle Paul makes the same point. I could begin up in verse 12, but we're going to skip verses 12 and 13 for just a moment and go back there in a few minutes. Verse 14, Paul says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now what happened to the law of Moses? It was taken away. It was nailed to the cross. And those things are no longer in effect. Those things were things that separated the children of Israel from the Gentiles. And God has taken that out of the way so that the two can come together in one body. It says that he has broken down, going back to Ephesians 2:14, he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He took that middle wall of separation out, that which separated the Jew from the Gentile, took it out of the way so that Jew and Gentile could be joined together in one body. Now, it does not mean that they're joined together in one body and they have absolutely no law to govern them. We have the law of Christ. And we must submit to the law of Christ. And in fact, we'll see that in this context as well. But here you have what Jesus did for mankind in taking this out of the way and bringing and making access for all men, Jew or Gentile, to have fellowship with God in the body of Christ. And what is the body of Christ? It's the church. It's the church. In verse 16, he says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So he did this, he took this out of the way for the purpose of bringing about a reconciliation with God for all men. And in that one body again, that's the church. He slain the enmity thereby. And verse 17, he came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were near. It's the same gospel for Jew or Gentile. Same gospel. Jesus came and preached peace, and the apostles and prophets preached peace, the same peace Jesus did, that brought together both Jew and Gentile into one God, into one body, reconciling them to God. There is but one church. And I know that there are people who they don't like to hear that. And they think, well, you people believe that there's only one church that's going to heaven? Yeah, I believe that there's only one church going to heaven. I sure do. I believe only the church or the body that belongs to Christ is going to heaven. Because that's the body that is reconciled to the Father. That is the body that has fellowship with God. Outside of that body, my friend, you are outside of Christ. If you are outside of that body, you do not have fellowship with God. You are still afar off. You are still without Christ, without God in the world. So, God brought all of this about. Jesus Christ did what he was supposed to do. Died on the cross, taking away the law of Moses, taking away that which separated Jew and Gentile, and brought Jew and Gentile together in one body, as verse 16 says, that they may be reconciled to God. One body, one church. By the way, just to show that again, Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, all that is outside that body is without Christ. They're without hope. They're strangers from the covenant of promise. They're without God in the world. We must be in the body of Jesus Christ, and that is all accomplished again through the blood that was shed for us. In verse 17, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them that were nigh, Jew and Gentile, for a purpose. Look at verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So, here he has talked about the fact that in Christ, that wall of separation has been taken down, Jew and Gentile united, and now we read that we have access to God. Access to God. You know, there are a lot of important people in the world. You may consider being able to call up the president of some huge corporation. What if you could just pick up the phone and talk to the president of Walmart anytime you wanted to? What if you could just pick up the phone and call the governor of Arkansas anytime you wanted to? And that, what would that take? You would have to be in his inner circle to be able to do that, wouldn't you? I mean, George Rumsfeld couldn't go back there and just pick up the phone and call the governor and say, I want to talk to Mike Deavy. And they'd say, okay, put you on hold for just a second, and Mike come on the phone and start talking to you. That it just wouldn't happen that way. And you couldn't call President Obama. I don't say anything else about that. But you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. You don't have access. Why not? You're not in that inner circle. Now, what does it mean if we have access to God? That means we're in that inner circle. We have access to God. What a wonderful blessing that is. Now, you may be an important person if you can call up the president anytime you want to, or call up the governor anytime that you want to. That would mean that you are a VIP. But, friend, we can just talk to God anytime we want to. What does that make us? And where is God in the order of things? Is President Obama more powerful? Does he have more authority than God? See, we are very important people. We are within that inner circle. We have access to God by one Spirit unto the Father. And by that one Spirit, that is through what the Holy Spirit has revealed and what He has provided in the gospel. By that one Spirit, we have access to God. And just like in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, by one Spirit we've all been baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit teaches us, leads us, and guides us through His revelation, letting us know that this is where we stand with God. And that we have fellowship with God because we have complied with what the Spirit has revealed. Then verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So, it's not like it used to be. Before Jesus took down the wall that separated Jew and Gentile, those who are Gentiles were outside looking in. Now, you're no more strangers. You're no more foreigners. But now fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. No longer are we outside looking in. No longer are we aliens. We are fellow citizens in the kingdom of Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. We are in the kingdom, despite what many teach about that. The kingdom is now in effect. We are in the kingdom. If you are a child of God, you are in His kingdom. And members of the household of God. You know, the household of God is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. That is the church. And so, we are in that body and we have the responsibility. We're built upon the truth of God's Word and we have the responsibility to uphold that truth, to live by that truth. So, we are in the household of God. We are in God's family. You know, that again goes back to that very important person idea. We're not just very important people because we have a lot of money, or we climbed up the ladder of Christianity. We're very important people because we are in God's family. Family members have access, easy access. And so we are family members, and we are God's building. Notice what else he says here in verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the buildings fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. We're built upon this foundation. We are a building. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Or 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm sorry. In 1 Peter the 2nd chapter, the Apostle Paul, or Apostle Peter, makes this point. Beginning in verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, the elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So, we are this building. We are pieces of this building. We are parts of this building. We are the building or the temple of God. And that's what he describes it as. And in fact, he calls it a holy temple. A holy temple. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians the 6th chapter. Paul says, beginning in verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God, that's us, that's the church, with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate. Be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, as saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, and fear perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We're the temple of God, a holy temple. We're to live holy life. We are, you know, I was speaking earlier about the fact that the Gentiles and the Jews were separated by the law. That kept that clear line of demarcation between the two groups. Well, God still has a clear line of demarcation between the two groups, as far as spiritually speaking. Those who are Christians, those who are his children, there's a clear line of demarcation. That is, we are holy, we're keeping the commandments of God, we're still serving, we're keeping the commandments of God through Christ. And that distinguishes us, that separates us from those that are in the world. We are a holy temple, and we are to come out from among them, and we are to be separate. So, a building, fitly framed together. Fitly framed together. It's all put together as God would have it put together. And it's built upon the apostles and prophets. Kind of going backwards here, but the idea is we're built upon the teaching of the apostles and prophets. We're not built upon Peter, as the Catholic Church says. But we're built on what the apostles and prophets taught. In fact, you go back to Matthew and 16th chapter, verse 18. Upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, what was that rock? Well, it wasn't Peter. That rock is the confession that Peter made, and underlying that confession is the truth of who Jesus is. He is the promised Messiah. He is the Son of God. It's upon that rock, as this passage clearly says, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. It's upon that truth that the church is built. The church is built upon the cornerstone. In fact, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is whom he claimed to be. And the apostles and prophets proclaimed that message, and thus they are considered members of the foundation. of the church, because it is upon their teaching that the church is built. The church is established through truth. It is, again, the pillar and ground of the truth. So, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. There are groups today who still believe that apostles and prophets are walking around amongst us. In fact, I get emails quite often from this apostle talking about seminars and meetings and camp meetings and things like that. And apostle so-and-so and his wife, I don't know if she's an apostle or not, but they consider themselves apostles and prophets. Well, you know, the apostles and prophets are in the foundation. The church is built upon what they revealed. We don't still have people laying that foundation today. Friend, the foundation has been laid. There is no more room for apostles and prophets. There is no more foundations being laid. It has been completed, thus they are no longer in the world today. And those who teach and expect that there are apostles and prophets today, well, they're just wrong about that. But we are built upon the teaching of the apostles and prophets today. And then you get down to verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, God dwells in this temple. But he does not dwell in temples made with hands, Paul said in Acts chapter 17. He dwells in the temple that he built, and that is his people. He dwells with us, he is in us, and he will be with us. Instead of being without God in the world, we are in the temple of God, with God dwelling in us and us, and we are dwelling in God. It works both ways. What we're talking about here is a very close relationship. A very, very close relationship. And all of this, again, is made possible by what? By the blood of Christ. That's what makes this possible. If it were not for the blood of Christ, we could not have been brought near. We would still have that wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, which could not save anyone anyway, and thus the Jews would be in just as bad of shape as the Gentiles. They'd be just as lost. But Jesus has taken that wall down, and he has provided salvation in the church that he built, that he promised to build. And uniting both Jews and Gentiles, verses 16 and 17, giving both of us, all mankind, opportunity to have access to God in the church. And thus we are fellow citizens in the kingdom of God. We are members of the family of God. We are God's building, a temple, that is, in which God dwells. And we have the presence of God. All because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Again, in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You know, it's a great thing to be brought near to God. We all need to be near to God. We need God to be near to us. We need to be in Christ. Now, maybe someone's here tonight, and they are, as verse 12 talks about, maybe you're here tonight and you're without Christ. You have never been baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. You've never been baptized into Christ. Well, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, you are without Christ. So you need to think about that. And you need to get into Christ by faith. But then he goes on, you're without Christ, and what's the result of being without Christ? You are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That is, you are outside of the blessings that are in Christ, that are in his church, in spiritual Israel today. And you are strangers from the covenants of promise. You are not Abraham's seed. You are not a beneficiary of the blessings that are in Christ. as promised in the Old Covenant. And you have no hope. No hope. You are without God in the world. Now, friend, I don't want you to stay there. If that's where you are, don't stay there. By faith, obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Enter in to the church through the door that the Lord has provided. That is His blood. And how do you come into contact with His blood? Well, you're baptized into His death. Romans 6 and verse 3. So you need to get into Christ. And if you are in Christ, then you have all the blessings that He talks about here. You have access to God. You're no longer a stranger, but now you are a fellow heir, a citizen in the kingdom, and you are even part of the holy building of God. Maybe you are here tonight and you know you need to obey the gospel. Well, do that. You need to do that. You know, people are not lost just because they do bad things. They're lost because they're sinners, and they need to be saved by the blood of Christ. And someone thinks, well, you know, I used to do bad things, but I stopped that, and I'm not doing that anymore, so I'm going to get to heaven that way. No, friend, you can't get to heaven that way. The only way to get to heaven is in Christ, by having your sins washed away through His blood. You need to become a child of God tonight if you're not. If you are a Christian and you're not living though like you should, and you need to repent, and you need to realize what you should have in Christ, what you can have in Christ. And you need to repent, and you need to be a full-fledged citizen and working member in the body of Christ. If you're here and you're studying the Lord's invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?